Hello, welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Rush. I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Black. We are back. We're playing with power. We are going into World 7 of our Super Mario World deep dive. So if you've been coming along with us every, since November, every episode, we've had a few, like maybe a break here or there and some off-topic episodes, but we are getting to the end of this journey in Super Mario World, and we hope you've enjoyed it. If you love this game, I'm sure it's taking you back down memory lane, maybe giving you the itch to go play it yourself. But thank you for joining us today and on this journey. We're almost there, and we can get some back to some different other types of content. But Ryan, let's waste no time. Our listeners have been chomping at the bit to get through this game since November, and we're in the Valley of Bowser, man. We're in the Valley of Bowser.
Yes, we are.
Just before you even dive into the first world, I think the whole world is just scary and creepy, and it's cool. I mean, Bowser is flying in the background. You see him, and he looks very scary. I mean, he's in this clown copter, and the lightning and thunder strike, and you just see his silhouette, basically, and his bright yellow eyes. It's, as a little kid, that's a bit scary, you know, back in the day. But the world seems like a desert, like this dark desert. I mean, heck, if anything, it kind of reminds me of the underground in Zelda Breath of the Tears of the Kingdom, even though that's like way, way, way in the future in this game. But it kind of reminds me of the underground section. Mm-hmm. I think it looks scary. It looks enticing. It looks challenging. And I'm sure these levels will be finally no slouches to anything else we have played up to this point, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have any comments on the world before we dive into it?
I think I very much get that Super Mario 3 difficulty feel here. Like how it just generally how it presented itself throughout the theming of Super Mario Bros. 3 with its harder NES style. I feel like that is this world in a lot of ways. And it's, you're still being introduced to new mechanics, even in this last world. Several curveballs and things. So you've got some mazes, some levels where you run out of time, and other ones where you have to be extremely patient. But, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's not keep them waiting. Let's dive into Valley of Bowser 1.
All right. Let's go. All right. So starting out this first level, you're in a cave-like area. And if you have hit the red switch, you'll have made a cage, basically a red blocks cage for one of the big moles. And right off the bat, there's a charging chuck that comes charging down you, down this staircase, if you will. And you're basically, you're running into this like 3 to 4 segment path maze that you can go on, where you have to dodge big moles, as well as charging chucks. Depending on the different ways that you go. Again, you can ride on the big moles' heads without them hurting you, but they will run into you and trample you, and they can fall on you, so they will hurt you that way. You're going through narrow corridors, so sometimes you can't even jump over these moles because you've got such little clearance. But then other times you get to thread the needle pretty much to get by them, so...
Right.
They do give you places where it's obvious, like they cut out the ceiling for like a triangle or something to help you to jump over the moles. But, you know, they make it narrower the further you get in the level. It's interesting the placement of the midway point to the level. Like, so you're working your way through this maze, you hit this midway point, and if you're not careful, you have like the Monty mole or the giant mole. That runs back and forth. Like if you jump up, it'll clip you before you can get above where you hit the flagpole. But if you go just a little bit further, you get to those black flowers that are constantly open and closing their mouths. And apparently these mole guys can run on top of it. So you have to wait till he comes across and you can jump on his head and ride him across the very hungry black flowers. And if you stay along that top path, you are going to come across a 3-life moon, which is very helpful in this last area for sure. So a lot of this is just figuring out which path do you take to get to the ending area. There's only one right answer. Every other way is going to give you a heck of trouble. And you'll often hit dead ends. You'll pick up some dragon coins, but it's still not great. So you'll come across some areas where you're pitted against some charging chucks that are running through either the blue eye blocks or the yellow eye blocks. And it's usually two of them at two different levels. So one will run through on the top level, breaking blocks. And then as you get halfway through, there's another one that'll come in and break the bottom blocks out. And so you kind of have to either ignore them or dodge them as they come running through. You are tempted with a block towards the bottom near the end of the level that turns into a vine. And if you take that vine up, you can go to a secret level, if you will. Really, it's a fake out for the most part. You get extra lives, of course, but it's just that mini game where you jump up and you hit the question blocks, hoping to get to the extra life. Hey, look, I got a mushroom.
you know, overall, this level is not very, I mean, it's kind of a winding maze. Mm-hmm. You have to pick the right tunnel, and if you don't, there's going to be a lot of backtracking, or you really set yourself up to die or get hit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of room for, like, that. There's not a lot of room for error.
If you're not careful, you run into a big mole down a corridor, you're running down, and it's game over. So the exit is guarded by a charging chuck through some of those the blue-eyed blocks or purple-eyed blocks or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've dodged him and he's gone through and broken those blocks, you can run straight through a pipe and you come out an orange pipe to the goalpost at the very end. So it's not too long of a level, but if you go the wrong direction, you're going to hit a lot of dead ends and get pretty frustrated.
Yeah, and I like the difference in the levels. Even, and it's not just this world. It's been throughout the whole game. I mean, where, you know, we have levels that are made to be longer. We have levels that are made to be, it's more of a challenge to get through it, either by really hard characters, or it's like we just went through, a maze. Maze and obstacle avoiding, and you had to choose the right route. So, since Valley of Bowser 1, pretty simple to get through overall, but Valley of Bowser 2...
It's a giant red dot, so that suggests that there's a secret exit, and it's going to be a really big level, a long level, if you will.
Oh, joy.
You're first greeted with those Kiwi Bats, I like to call them, and Koopa Troopa that you can jump on, and it spits them out of a shell, and you can pick up the shell and carry it with you. I do recommend carrying it with you because just a short bit away, you're going to get one of those super shells that are flashing all rainbowy that drops down between two rising and lowering yellow pillars. So if you keep that shell, you can use that shell to get rid of the other one. And there is a mushroom and or if you're bigger, you can get a feather from the question mark block in that area. And this is a cave area. The background is very dark, really dark. And there's like a couple of stones here or there in the background. But it's mostly a black background for the most part. I mean, you've got like a gray and a deep dark blue, but that's about it. And then you have all these rising pillars, yellow pillars with the brown pillars of the stage just rising up and down. And you have Koopas and, you know, dropping down from Koopas are going to be in the areas that you're in as you're going between these rising and falling hills and valleys, if you will. And then you have to be careful because you also have the Kiwi Bats that just fly out from the top of the screen. You can't really see them at all. So you got to be careful. You can't be too high up or they'll clip you and shrink you down. Once you've navigated through that area, there is that first section. There is a midway goalpost you can hit. And the next area takes a bit of patience. If you go to the top left-hand corner and you jump straight up, there is a feather block there, and it always turns into a feather. It might be a mushroom if you're smaller, but... And then there is also a question mark block. If you have a Yoshi at this point, if you hit that, it'll turn into Yoshi wings, and you can fly up into the clouds and do the Yoshi, mini area that kind of skips you past most of the game, or most of the level. But it doesn't get you to the secret exit at all. So
It makes me think that.
Yeah, yeah.
This zone is, ooh, this is, I don't think we've even seen something like this yet throughout the game. Ryan is currently walking through an up and down moving, like, ceiling and ground. It's a tight tunnel. But yet there's, like, blocks and obstacles it will push you through and crush you if you're not quick enough, either way. And normally you don't really see that, you know, that's, I'm pretty sure that's brand new. So yeah. That's tricky and that's tough. And you have to be ready to run at any given moment, or it'll be instant death.
Yeah, you can easily get crushed. And you have to basically navigate a maze of this rising and falling, knowing what time to run and what time to stay put. You can't really stay still for too long because you've got timer, of course, but then you also have like a narrow window that you have to run through and get to the next safe area, so you don't get crushed by the rising and falling.
Well, and you need to look ahead too. Yeah. Like you could have ran just where you just were, but yet if you would have, like, the hole is not in the right spot.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. I mean, it's you're kind of guessing while you do it, you know?
Yep. This is definitely a place where I recommend holding down the R button. It will give you a preview of what's to come. You can see far to the right a little easier. So you're not, if you go backwards, of course, that'll shift the camera, but you can shift it back again. But it lets you see further ahead and navigate the maze a little easier, so you're not caught in some of these pitfall traps. There is one interesting area where the ceiling, part of it rises up just enough to where you have to duck or you'll get crushed. But you can go further in there. There's nothing really of value to go up there and grab. I think they probably could have added that, but they didn't. That very last one almost crushes you right when you get to the end and you have the green pipe you can go through.
Would you say it might be easier to get through that as a smaller Mario?
Yeah, I would say so, just because if you get crushed as Big Mario, you're probably dead, I think, right away. So,
well, like that last one, you had a duck to get out of that.
Yeah, pretty much,
I feel like if you were smaller, you would have just ran right through that.
Yep. As soon as you go through the end of that section with the rising and falling, you're dropped out of a pipe immediately to that next section, and you land on one of those yellow pillars again, but then it starts rising. The floor, as soon as you hit it, the floor starts rising up, and you have to run through really quickly not to get crushed by this rising floor. And it's cool because they give you windows into the floor cutouts, so you can see that it is rising up, coming at you as you're trying to run through the corridor. If you do stand at the very edge of that rising yellow block, you can get up on top of the level and go left, and that's where the secret exit is for this level. So once you hit that first rising pillar of ground, you come across a big mole running back and forth in a chasm. Then you have another big mole. If you hit the red switch, it makes blocks over those black flowers. But you can kind of skip that by jumping on the mole or on the red blocks and then jump over to the second area where you come to your second rising pillar where you have to run through and not get crushed as it's rising up. Of course, there's that cutout at the end showing you how close you are to that getting ready to crush you. It's a nice little touch. And then that brings you to the end of the level, really. You have like one more big mole, but other than that, you're at the goalpost.
Good job. Yeah, it's... I'd say that level is just more like a anxiety filled. Get through it, get through it, get through it. And then obviously, you know, you mentioned the secret. You want to talk about, I mean, you don't, we know where the secret is. You want to talk about where that secret actually takes you, though?
So you go to a mini castle.
I mean, heck, even play the mini castle if you want.
Yeah, a mini castle is Valley Fortress, and then it takes us to the back door after that, which is kind of a shortcut through Bowser's Castle. But yeah, let's go ahead and go through the Valley Fortress. It's really challenging. It's very, very reminiscent of classic Super Mario Bros. 3 with rising and lowering pillars.
Yeah.
But basically, you got to time your jumps as these rising spike pillars come and try to crush you each time. You have, like, first you come up with three coming down from the ceiling, the second one you come down from four, and then you're presented with a lot of spikes on the floor and in the ceiling. You got to be careful how you jump. And then you have, of course, spikes falling from the ceiling as well, making that really, really dangerous because you're also having to dodge bones thrown by dry bones.
Right.
And there's also
the cape. Spiny. Clearly is like, I mean, it's the item you want.
Yeah.
It helps you glide when there's, because there's going to be spikes on the wall, at the wall as you jump at it, and you've got to be able to control your momentum, and this helps with that. And then the spin attack with the cape as well allows you to take out dry bones and any other skeletal item enemies that come your way pretty easily.
The spiny beetles and
yeah. But I mean, you're hovering as you're right now. Ryan's going through floors of lava as the lava jumps up at you. And again, just highly recommend to have the cape because he's in full control of his momentum and of how he's going through the section while still avoiding crushing spike pillars. May I add,
the second portion has the pillars going a little bit differently. Like they slam down immediately, then they go up and they come down and they pause for a second. And then they drop again. So it's got a bit of a different pattern that you have to memorize and figure out when's the right time to run and jump and everything. It is definitely challenging. And if you get hit by the pillar, you are shrunk down immediately and then crushed. So it's pretty much a game over if you get caught by it. It'll shrink you down and then take you out completely if you're not careful.
Well, likely so, too. I mean, this is...
The hardest one is over that lava pit with the fireball launching up, too. You get very narrow window to move. You had to be pixel perfect, pretty much.
And that takes you to the end of this castle, and then we go in here and we fight the Reznar that we talked about last week. Again, not too difficult of a mini boss, but certainly can be annoying if you don't hit him in the right ways. But I think this level was very challenging because it's a temptation. It's like, hey, you know, because I don't think kids back in the day, I mean, I certainly would have been like, I would want to do whatever I could to get Bowser's castle and beat him. And this is a temptation to like, let's head this way. Let's go. Come on. You want to cut out the rest of the world? All you have to do is just go through here. And it's a very challenging thing. And, you know, may I mind you, this is not a game where you can just click the buttons and save your spot. You know, you have some saved spots, but, you know, and when you start a game over, you're back down to 5 lives. Isn't that correct, Ryan? Like, you don't retain the lives even if you save them. So it's like, this is a hard thing, and it's a temptation to get you to come through here, because if you did die, I mean, then you have two levels to have to redo again. It would be very time consuming to take this route and to do it over and over again until you mastered it, because that is not an easy level. A lot of it is designed to be like, I think it was designed to fit like this, where it seemed like in a millisecond sooner you would have been crushed, and like it wants you to feel that way. Like you have to have a perfect window to get through it without getting touched, because it's going to make me like, whoa, a close call, you know? And that's how they want you to feel. So, but I think that's pretty radical that they put in a shortcut to the end through the back door of Bowser's castle. Man, you know what? I want to say a comment real quick. Bowser's castle, you know what? I don't think we have a modern Mario 3D game where we actually just go to his freaking castle. Outside of Mario RPG that just came out, like you actually get to see his castle. But like, we don't have a 2D game. We don't have, if anything, we never go to Bowser's land and go to his castle anymore. We haven't done that in a 3D game. He's always got a flying ship or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I would love to do that. I would love to like have like they need to do that in like the next Mario game where like we traverse through the actual Mushroom Kingdom like we did in this game and we go to the journey to Bowser's castle like Lord of the Rings style and have to take him on there. I don't feel like we've had that traditional type of Mario adventure in a modern setting or like a 3D game or anything like that.
And I think it's going to take some time for Nintendo to recognize, okay, so maybe we revisit this. Because right now it's like they've already told that story. They don't like to retell the story. Like they want to give us something new. But, you know, sure, they're working on remakes. I mean, it's very possible that we could get an experience like this.
But like we've never seen his castle. We've never, like, outside of Mario Kart iterations where he has a castle and you drive through it, we've never actually like had to go through a Bowser castle. And I think that's kind of a travesty. Maybe they've done it in Paper Mario games. I'm not quite sure.
Super Mario Brothers might have had it. If you want to count those. It's 3D, but definitely not in a 3D setting, really.
Not a 3D game? No. Not like
2.5D, of course. Not really 3D.
Odyssey or 64. Or Sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Yeah, no, there's nothing really like that, per se.
Anyways, I don't want to distract us, but... Onward and upward to Valley Ghost House.
So this Valley Ghost House does have two exits. And right off the bat, you are given a mushroom and you are up against those plasma, the green blob, the green bubbles that float up and down hauntingly like ghosts. It's a short section. You have to do like three hops and then you're at the door to leave that area. And then you're presented with another area with a POW block, and you're on like basically a hanging platform, and there's a dragon coin up above. But once you hit the P block, you got to make your decision: do you run right or do you run left? And you want to do it fast because the P block, once it goes away, you're stuck. You have to start the level, pretty much get to jump off a cliff and start over again. So. I don't know if you'd like to go the other directions. I know the direct way to exit the place. Otherwise, you could take a couple of routes around, go around and see different parts of this level. I think it would be best for just review. We could just run straight to the end and that's it. But
yeah, I think so.
But so I'm going to go left first.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
And
I've never... It's been a long time for that.
So it puts in the brown blocks that you can jump on. They just come out of nowhere. So basically, it generates the platforms you need to get across either direction, and you're doing a bunch of jumps with a lot of boos and the boo lines that bounce back and forth, and you have a couple paths you can take, but you got to do this all while the P block is going, otherwise it disappears and you fall into the pit and you're gone. So going left doesn't really yield you anything great. You end up in a room that you want to come at from another direction, another angle. It's kind of... pointless otherwise. What I recommend doing is getting to the very edge of the P block of that hanging platform when you first get in this room where the blocks turn from invisible to solid, or I guess they're not even there. The blocks materialize, you can jump on the brown blocks. And if you go right, you get some question mark blocks, you get some eeries attacking you, some ghosts, of course, just a regular booze. You have a question mark block that will waste your time because you jump up a bunch of time to grab the coins. And then you have a long path of coins. You can run all the way through to the end. There's an extra life. If you don't make it, the P block runs out. Then you can only go to that last door and that's it. And then you're kind of stuck. You have to go through one of those doors that you were able to run far enough through, but maybe you didn't get to the last door. You got to be like really, really fast going right to get through all the coins, finally get to the end to move on to the next area. It's where you get to the secret exit as well. If you do miss the doors, though, you do have, if you go through one of the later or the earlier doors before you get to the secret exit door, you can go through that door and it'll take you to the end, the normal exit, if you will. But the cool thing about that ghost level is in the secret exit, when you go left on that hanging platform and you hit the P block and you go through the doors there, you'll be presented with a coin block that snakes. So it moves and it just makes coins in a line, but it's based off your D-pad movements. So you can guide the coins how you want to and make a staircase. And then if you have a P block, you hit the P block and you use that staircase to get up to an area where you have to like crouch down and slide underneath. And then there's a key and a keyhole right there. You can also do some fancy work with a cape. If you're really good at threading that needle, when you go like, you know, you arc down, you arc back up again, you can go through that hole, and you don't have to get it exactly right. Like you can get the coins turned to solid blocks just underneath of that, and you can crouch, and you can crouch jump up into that hole and get in there and grab the key. But it's really tough to get that secret key. And basically, it just gives you the shortcut that gets you to the area's castle. Otherwise, basically, you skip two whole levels. So nothing too big, but that brings us to the Valley of Bowser 3.
Easy. Not really. That's a very confusing place.
All right, so Valley of Bowser 3. You start out in, like, treetops. They're green. It looks like extra life mushroom treetops. And you have a background of another one rising up. And then you come across those white, I guess, what I call, like, Yoshi's Island egg motif hills. With, like, weird green and orange, like, blades of grass on top. And then you get kind of a rope, a wire rope, a metal rope, bottom between those pillars. And you get this platform that has a number one in the center of it. And it looks kind of like a dirt clod with grass on top. And a like, three-section platform, or three-span platform. And when you jump on it, it starts to go in a predetermined direction to the right until that one counts down, it disappears, and then it drops. So that gives you the intro of what this level is going to be like. And you're basically going to be hitting a bunch of these one-count platforms. Sometimes you get a four-count platform that goes a little bit longer, but you have to basically jump on the platform, ride it out just a little bit, to the next platform and jump onto the next one, and you keep going and going and going, trying not to meet your untimely doom. So there is a section where you can go into a yellow pipe, and that will give you one of those extra life areas. Yeah, we all like the extra lives, especially in this area, in this final area where it's really challenging. But hey, I actually got two extra lives this time. That's fun. Oh, I got three. That's unheard of for me. All right. And then that will dump you out just shortly after that. The one platform's like floating across the abyss to a spring with a halfway goal. So that basically gives you a little bit of a shortcut. Not too much, but and then if you use the springboard a little bit further, you can grab a fire flower. I'm going to go ahead and switch out from the fire flower to the cape again, and I'm going to go ahead and carry this spring with me just in case. I probably won't hold on to it for very long, but you come across this area. You climb like a three platform mushroom tree, and you come across another one of those white Yoshi pillars, Yoshi Island pillars, and they're three different ones. There's like two tall ones and then a shorter one in the middle, and all three of them are linked by that spiral metal cable, and you have some Koopa Troopas bouncing around inside of that. You have to dodge, and then you come across those it's like the countdown timer blocks, but it's sideways, and it we saw it in one other level with the boiling oil or the tar, I'm trying to think. You're presented with more of those number, I don't call it dirt clod, but like those pieces of earth that float back and forth, and you're presented with another four, and this is basically just an advanced difficult section where you have to navigate around some of the Koopa Troopas that are flying up and down in your area. And then you have to jump on the ones and the twos. Some of these you think, oh yeah, this will last me long enough. Like, it's got a four count, it's going to go forever. And then you end up, you didn't grab that one count before, that one block, and it falls to your doom. But not only are you working on these blocks that are falling based on a timer, we also have Bonsai Bill, the giant bullet bills coming at you. They tempt you with the extra life mushroom. It's not worth it.
No, just keep Because you're right at the end. I mean, just
yeah,
go.
And there's a goalpost right at the end there. So yeah, you hit maybe two or three bonsai bills through that whole thing. But you know, you got some time jumps. You got to jump on them. The giant bullets coming at you, and yeah. So that one doesn't have any secret exits or anything. It's pretty straightforward.
Finally, I mean, it seems like almost every level has a secret exit anymore. Yeah. This game has so many of them.
Well, surprise! The next one has a secret exit as well.
Of course.
This one takes you to the Star Road, and you can definitely see the star on the map already right when you get here, but you can't access it. And I think this is the only way you can get to the Star Road from this section, unless you come from Star Road down. Because if you go up to, if you beat Larry's Castle and you go up to Bowser's area, you can't go left. You have to basically go, you have to be on the Star Road section and go right in order to kind of unlock that barrier that lets you go across that direction. So yeah, let's go ahead and get into Valley of Bowser 4. We're underground again. This is one of the more frustrating secret exits in the game.
Oh my gosh.
But we like to call these, so you, first thing you come across is Charging Chuck. And we like to call these ones Up Chucks. They dig up stones that bounce down the hills, and they're positioned on these hills high up. And so Mario has to like slip underneath these bouncing stone boulders that kind of remind you of like Golem from Pokemon. Without the head or anything.
I see a Sandshrew, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought of.
And so if you hit them, like they have this like blue shovel, and if you hit them, then they'll turn into regular Charging Chucks and charge you down. If you ignore them, they'll only go in one direction, and they'll dig up the stones in that one left direction, so you can stand behind them and not have to worry about them hitting you or anything, which is nice.
Which is nice.
Yeah, very nice. There is a lava pit after that, and you have these, I think of them like pumice, like the stones that you have, like when you scrub your feet and stuff. Like, it reminds me of pumice stones sitting in lava, and if you jump on them, they sink rather fast, actually. And so, like, it's just a single platform you can stand on to get across the lava, and that's all you can do. You can be tempted to go down, there's a green pipe. If you go down the green pipe, you're going to go into this ice area with the spinies, the single spike spinies. You've got cheap cheeps in the water, in the ice water, and you've got these narrow platforms that are slipping and sliding that you have to navigate until you get to the end where you get a blue, light blue pipe. But unfortunately, that pipe puts you back towards the beginning, and you have to go back over through the pumice stones again. And you're presented with a piranha plant at the end of that corridor that gets you to, it turns into a vine that climbs all the way to the top. And if you climb it up, you'll get a Yoshi. And you're next are presented with a straight shaft all the way down. It's a single space. Or you can, if you're bigger, you can do the flip jump or the spin jump to get rid of the yellow blocks. And kind of slowly go your way down. So I'm going to do that with a Yoshi and bounce all the way down to the bottom. And it lands you on a pumice stone over lava. So you got to move quick and get off of that onto the safe platform. If you take the far right section of the eye blocks, the yellow eye blocks, you can get to an upper area where you can hit a extra life block. But it's not worth it, honestly. It's more there to tempt you than anything because it's going to run off into the lava if you're not careful. And you have pumice stones that you have to jump on and jump over lava while also avoiding the Charging Chuck digging up stones trying to take you out. So once you get to that section, like it's really easy to get hit with the Yoshi in that part. Or your goal is to keep Yoshi through this whole thing to get to the secret exit. So the next part is a pumice stone and the flagpole for this area. I would like to note that Yoshi can eat the rocks that the Charging Chuck dig up. So it can give you a little bit more maneuverability if you can catch him.
Yoshi.
You've got Charging Chuck all along the way, like digging up stones on hills, trying to knock you out. And then you have this like this long drop onto one of the into the lava pit with the pumice stone. And you've got a Charging Chuck right at the top, digging those stones, like ready to take you out. And you got to jump on the pumice stone really quick while avoiding those rolling stones. and jump across. You've got a couple more hills. It's kind of like a little mini mountain thing, and you slide down, and you've got yet another charge and chuck to deal with over a tiny, tiny lava pit. So it's not too bad, and there's a pumice stone down there. But I, it's, again, keeping a Yoshi through this whole part is really hard. Then you have this fun little platform piece you have to do. You have to jump on this Koopa Troopa to get you across a pit. And then you have charging chucks that are, you know, up chucks that are digging these stones that are trying to hit you. And you're pretty much going to lose Yoshi here if you're not knowing what you're doing to dodge these stones that are rolling down. And you have a spring that you have to jump up to get up to where the charge and chuck is.
There's really no room for error.
No,
there.
Not at all.
Constantly.
No, you got to be exact. If you don't have a power up, you're gone. You know, that's just it. Like I just demonstrated there, like one hit by the rock and you're gone. So it's not as erratic as the football, but I think that's the worst part is it's more consistent, but they get kicked a lot more frequently than the footballs are. Or the charge and chucks. Mm. So that's what makes them especially deadly.
Well, note that if you do jump on the up chucks, they just say screw the shovel and they chase you actually. Which they'll kill themselves running to the lava pit or whatever. Yeah. But man, this part is annoying. I mean, I'd be very frustrated back in the day. I mean, even today, I would be very frustrated. You just kind of have to either be quick enough or take the hit, it seems like. Or to kill that guy. The upchuck that keeps giving Ryan a difficult time, he's at the top of a hill. But if you can run up there, maybe take the hit or avoid one quickly, you can kill him. And then, you're able to jump over to where that secret is that you were talking about earlier, Ryan, where you have to have Yoshi to get through. You have to grab the key with this tongue through, and then you can escape, which then takes us to Star Road. But we're not exploring Star Road today. We're going to come back to that next week. But then that's really the level, right?
Yeah, the goalpost is literally the next, like, hill over. There's a sign right on top of that hill, so it's right there at the end. So it's like, it teases you. Haha, you don't have a Yoshi, so you can't get the secret key. So you got to start all over again if you want to get the secret exit. It's definitely one of the more frustrating ones that you can come to.
But it perfectly sets it up to the like, if you die, you lose your Yoshi. It's not by you're gonna have to do the level over if you want to get the secret.
Okay, and that takes us to the big castle of the world, right? That's the last castle we have to do. You know, Lair's castle.
It's not a mini castle. You're right. It's more of a
It's a full on castle. But. It's not Bowser's castle, so it's just like you have to take out three castles, or you have potential of taking out three castles in this area, which is crazy.
Who'd have thought putting a boss before the big boss?
Yep.
And I mean, this won't be considered a mini boss.
No, right? It's a full boss,
like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So that's pretty mean, Shigeru Miyamoto, who led the charge for this game. Immediately, as soon as you entered, I mean, it's the level is quick and fast. It's full of lava. We're back on the blocks where once you step on them, they move as a pattern through the level. And
gotta dodge they're taking spikes.
Spike spin ball on chains. I'm not even sure you properly call that, but they're moving everywhere. They're placed everywhere throughout the castle, and you have little room for error, and you don't get to move slow. I mean, we saw this in a past castle, but it moved way slower. It was way easy to keep up with. This is just going very fast.
It goes fast, but you get more tempo. Too. You get more blocks to work with, but it's not really a benefit in the long run. So
that is true. And I know you, Ryan, as he's playing, he just got hit there, but. Honestly, I think you got hit because you were big.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this is safer to be smaller.
Yeah.
And Ryan's an expert of this game, so Ryan pulled a little cool trick where he stayed and he let the blocks that you follow along with, he let them go down. And I think a regular player for the first time, or maybe not as experienced, you would
follow them.
Try to follow that path, and I'm positive the path would be difficult to do.
Yeah.
But Ryan let it go down, come back up, and then he continued on because he's smart like that. But the next area is No short of villains. It's full of our wonderful Kamek Koopa shooting magic wizards at us. And it's kind of it's a mean thing because we actually, you want to kill him or you want to get away from him. That's your normal instinct because he's annoying. But we actually have to use him to get us through. Unless you have, I guess if you had a cape that could work. But if you don't, like we don't, he's having to block, we have like the eyeball blocks blocking our way. And we need him to destroy them with his magic. Once you dodge, he will open pathways for you. But he's not the only enemy here. We got tons of Koopa Troopas. We got dry bones. We have wooden spikes up and down. It's just, they are throwing a lot of chaos at us here. All while avoiding your traditional lava pits and maneuvering through the whole level. Man, this world is very mean.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You've got lava and Kamek is shooting his magic at you. It can appear anywhere and hit you at any angle. So you've got the fireballs jumping up. And you've got the wooden pillars rising and falling. You have to dodge all while you're on the question or the eye blocks, the yellow eye blocks that Kamek's magic can take out and turn into enemies and become holes in the floor. And oh my goodness, it is so difficult. And there's no like halfway point or anything. No, you have to do it all over again. You have to wait on the conveyor thing the whole time. You know, keep going, wait, be patient. And then you get to that part where, like, if you die, it's like it's so frustrating to lose all of that progress. And then what is already a really difficult level.
Well, and I mean, again, I'll note, like, I like to take us back to 1992 when this game came out. Like, this was hard.
Yeah.
Like, there was, again, no save state. And I'm sure just getting through the first part, unless you're a pro like Ryan who's played the game a million times, that's freaking hard. And I guarantee you, many people died just in the first section. So to only die and have to go all the way back is devastating.
Yeah. Okay. We've got the escalator stairs. And then you get, if you have the green block, you can get a cape at the very end. You still have that pesky Kamek casting magic at you and you have a dry bones you have to deal with. But then you're right out fighting Larry. Larry is a revisit of classic first boss of this level. The only challenge is you've got three fireballs popping up on his platform trying to take you out. And you've got him throwing out multiple like star balls at you. So it's the rotating platform back and forth over the lava. If you jump on him, he gets him close to the edge, but then you have like three fireballs, two on the edge and one in the direct middle, and you have to dodge the star balls as well. It's pretty gruesome. You have to dodge to take him out and knock him into the lava and beat that area. Yeah, it's not easy at all.
Nope.
But when you do beat that area, you do come across that end cutscene where Mario takes the, the castle this time, and he actually like Superman, like Hulk, pulls it up out of the ground and just like kicks it off screen. It's pretty awesome what he does there. And then you get to the very end with the description for beating that. Mario has defeated Larry Koopa in Castle Number 7. All that is left is Bowser's Castle, where Princess Toadstool is being held. Can Mario rescue her and restore peace to Dinosaur Land? Question mark.
Wild. Very wild. I mean, we don't really, if you die there, I mean, even if you die in the fight, you lose it all. You don't. You have to start over again at the very, difficult and mean obstacle to throw in the mix.
Yeah, definitely.
They did, but it's cool, don't get me wrong. This is the final level, technically. It's supposed to be, so it needs to be hard. So, I mean, I don't like, blame Nintendo. I don't think it's mean. I think it's makes the game worth it, well worth it money, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it gives them multiple options to go different ways to skip that castle. With the secret exits, the Star Road, and then also the other, like, it gives you the option to to get around that, to get to that, get around that castle, because it is so hard. There are other options to go about doing it.
Does before you go into Bowser's front door, I mean, if you go through the back door, does that, is that its own separate level itself, or is that really just like you're in the castle, but it's like you're halfway to Bowser or something?
So the castle has multiple paths, and one of the paths that you can take in the front door area, the main area, will take you to the back door area. So you're going to get there anyway. It's just a shortcut, basically.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do this.
Here we go. I'm doing this with no power-ups whatsoever, so we'll see what happens. So you're first greeted with a number one and a door, and then a number two and a door.
I remember this.
Number three and a door, number four and a door, and that's it. I'm going to go through door number four. And this place is...
Pick your poison.
This takes us to a place with sparkies. It helps if you're little, for sure, and there's a lot of shifting blocks back and forth. But also you have, like, the discombobulation of the background rising and falling as well. Like it's on an ocean or something. Like, it's disorienting. And it's... You gotta realize that everything is stationary and the background's moving, so... It's a trick of the light, or a trick of everything. Like, you know, and then you have door 5, 6, and 7 you're presented with. And we can go through each of the doors. I'm definitely going to, like, lose lives and stuff. And then, you know, all the way to door 8. I'm going to go through door number 7. And that takes us to a place with fireballs. Bowser statues that are breathing fireballs.
A green pillared background. That's the first different background we've ever seen, really. Like,
yeah.
That.
Yeah, and then you've got a golden Bowser statue that jumps, actually moves and jumps at you, and they don't really stop. You can't really take them out, and you have to dodge those lava pits and fireballs. You can lure them, the golden Koopas, into the fire. That's great, but you still have to deal with all of these breathing fire statues. So you've got three different golden Bowser statues you have to go up against before you can exit that area. And that takes you to the back door area. It starts out dark with, like, a disco ball at the top of the screen. Like, it's just kind of hanging there.
Like Mario Bros. 3.
And if you hit the question mark block, it's red. It turns on the disco ball and gives you, like, a cone of light from the ceiling down. And you're greeted with Ninjai. Good old classic Ninjai from Super Mario Bros. 2. An enemy that you don't see, like... You haven't seen in a while, you know, like it's real weird. Like, they're actually making reference to this weird cousin Mario game. And keep in mind, this actually came out also in Japan. So, like, it makes it canon for, you know, Mario 2 being a thing in Japan. It wasn't like Doki Doki Panic in Japan, but this is kind of the first thing for Japanese, like the Ninjai, to see that, but they didn't play the US version.
And even going through this face all, I mean, they're kind of there in the dark, but you get a sneak peek at, like, what's to come. Kind of gives you a secret. Like, you see, like, the walking turtle robot, and you honestly
the Mecha
can just
Koopas,
carry
yeah.
it. The Mecha, you can just carry it through and knock all the bad guys out, which then leads us to Bowser's door. So I guess that's a pretty simple route that you chose.
Yeah,
pretty lucky.
There's
route
a lot more, like, twists and turns and stuff that you can take. Different. There's, like, an area with Mecha Koopas. It's like a maze where you have to jump through, like, invisible, like, holes in the floor because it's covered up by foreground elements and stuff like that. And it's like clown. It's like the diamonds, the orange and the white diamonds, like, motif. Once that takes you through the door, the back door takes you right to Bowser, pretty much. And you're tasked with jumping on these Mecha Koopas and flattening them and then tossing them up and hitting Bowser as he's floating by. And you can hit the side of Bowser's clown car. He's floating around in the top. There's lightning in the background. And when you take him out that first time, he flies into the foreground. Like, he goes into the back and then flies to the foreground and attacks. And then he drops down a bunch of fireballs. About one space... blank space between them. They come down in waves and then they pick up on the other side of the screen and drop down, and they disappear after a couple seconds, and then you can jump around them and basically just avoid the fire wave before he moves on to the second stage of fighting him.
I like that. This is probably like the first fight we've had a boss fight where there's stages, and I like that. I like that as you transition from first to second, like it shows Princess Peach trapped in his cart, in his helicopter, yelling for help, and she gives you a mushroom to or any kind of power up that you may need. Mm-hmm. You can just see the advancement. You can definitely feel like this is a boss, like this is a final boss fight. It's completely separated itself from the rest of the fights. And the Bowser's facial animations of when he gets hit, it's cool. It's fun. It makes it challenging.
I love the clown car getting angry. It has like the little angry like temple like vein showing.
Yeah.
And he's got like
it's alive itself.
It's still smiling, but it's got angry face going on.
This section is a bouncing clown car, which he'll take out the Mecha Koopas that he throws at you if you let him hit him.
Yeah.
But you still gotta avoid him, and then you gotta time the launch of the Mecha Koopa into the air to land when he is coming at you and trying to pin you up against the wall. And once you hit him the three times, he drops Peach and he flies off, man, and that's it.
And he spirals away, and Peach drops out of the clown car, and he just, you know, flies off in the distance. And then Peach, Peach actually gives Mario a kiss, and Mario blushes. Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
There's something that makes it canon. Like, all you fanfics out there that are shipping, you know, Peach and Mario, it's official now, you know? You got some fanfic, some fodder there. Yeah.
On the cheek. It's better than the nose, like the Mario 64. And then it's a celebration. Fireworks are... Somebody knows the news, and fireworks are going off to celebrate that we got Peach back. So fast.
Oh, such a good ending with the fireworks. And then there's the final firework that's just a big heart in the sky. It's so awesome. It's poetic. Then you move on into the credits, which has Mario and Yoshi with Peach riding on Yoshi, side saddle, with all of the eggs that you've collected, the yellow eggs you've collected throughout your adventure, all seven of them. And it has them walking through the different levels, the different backgrounds of the areas that you've been through in the game.
Right.
It's really cool. I like, the music. It makes you feel like you just want to sit there. You don't want to watch them walk back through all the levels that they went through to get back to Yoshi Island with all the eggs. It's a cool credit scene because it also shows... credits of the characters as well. Like, it'll give you like the names of all the different characters that you run into in the game, and if you've beaten the game beforehand or before going through the secret level stuff, you're gonna see the credits for the enemies like that you haven't seen before. Like, you know, it mentions like the Pidget Bills, and it mentions what are they, Torpedo Teds and things like that. You may not. There's some of these enemies you may not have seen if you didn't go through all the levels and things. It was cool. It's like, oh man, I got to keep playing and figure out what these other enemies are. Like, I've never seen that before. It's so cool, you know.
Yeah, it's you know, something you didn't mention back that the credits are kind of leading to. Once you beat Bowser, it does. You know, we kind of always have after you beat a castle, you get some warding. Some warning that did pop up was Mario's adventure is over. Mario, the princess, Yoshi, and his friends are going to take a vacation. And the credits, really, like that's what they're showing. We're traveling back with all the eggs that we rescued along this entire journey to go back to the very end, and we watch them all hatch. And that's really the introduction to seeing different colored Yoshis. Because at this time... you really only knew of the green Yoshi, and then we get all the rainbow-colored Yoshis, which then is a nice surprise because that's really kind of like a sneak peek into like what we got with Super Mario World 2, which was Yoshi's Island and Yoshi's story and everything that we know of Yoshi for the future. I think that was really cool that they did that. It really just kind of opened this door of where we were going with Yoshi, because even up to this point, Yoshi is only green in all of his iterations. And for the most part, he is green in everything that they do, but it showed that there's more than just one Yoshi, and there's a family of them out there.
Or is there? Tune in next week.
But tune in next week. But really, Ryan, that's, man, we creamed that this whole world in just about a little over an hour. And I think that, or around an hour, that's awesome. And this game has been fun. And going through this final fight in this castle really brought back a lot of memories for me, nostalgic wise. Because I remember just cheating, going through there through Star Road with Traven as a kid. We found the shortcut path and we made it all the way there. And I remember doing that fight and watching and helping Traven beat him. And man, what a ride. What a ride. And it's really rewarding, especially if you do everything in this game.
Ball and chain. Final thoughts? That's what those are called. Ball and chain.
Oh. Uh-oh.
You know, I love this game. Like, it gives you hints with the credits of the enemies at the end, gives them all the names so you know what to call them. And then, like, you know, it shows you some enemies you might not have seen, and it's like, oh, there's secrets I still haven't figured out in this game. So it gives it replayability to go back and find all the secrets. And then, of course, it gives you, like, all of the enemies at the end, like, all the different Bowsers in a circle, the different Bowser cousins, and the end with Mario and Luigi and Peach up close. And this is a... I think this is the... Is this... It just seems strange to see Luigi here.
Well, I mean, this game was the... It clearly shows him. I mean, he's an optional player, yeah. Especially if you're playing with two people. So he's really a part of the journey.
It's funny to have Luigi, you. Like, get kissed by Peach or something like that, you know?
She gets around, I guess.
She's free with the love.
Yeah, something like that. But, well, Ryan, I guess wrap this up, put a pretty bow on it, man. Tell us where everyone can find us.
Sure thing, man. You can find us on the interwebs. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora Podcasts. And our YouTube is now fully armed and operational on YouTube Music. We have our channel moved over there for when Google Podcasts closes down its doors. And you can also find us on social media spots such as Facebook at @NintendoNOS, on TikTok at @Nintendo_NOS. X Twitter at @Nintendo_NOS, Instagram at @NintendoNOSIN. You can shoot us an email at NintendoNostalgiaIN@gmail.com. You can give us a call on the hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690. I did want to circle back on that that YouTube Music. We are the handle NintendoNOSIN as the username. Unfortunately, Nintendo Nostalgia was taken by a DSI video channel that hasn't been doing videos since 2021. But, hey, we've got the Nintendo NOSIN, so it's pretty easy to remember. So definitely check us out over there and subscribe on YouTube Music. That brings us to the end of this episode. And our last episode is going to, or our last set of Super Mario World reviews are all in the secret levels. So hope you look forward to us wrapping that section up and moving on to the regular episodes. We definitely have a music episode planned. So stay tuned for that, and we will catch you later. Later, Preston.
Peace out, guys. Bye.